Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. From the soft red winter wheat, the nearby contract for the March at $8.05¾, down 5.5 cents. That is a settlement price. July futures there at $8.23 for the new crop, settled 6 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City, a gain today of $0.01¾ at $8.78½. Back in the corn pits, steep losses down 16.5 cents at $7.03½. This is a close, so those numbers can change yet. May futures at $7.07, down 16¾, and July corn at $7.07½, down 14¼. September futures $6.31¾, 11.5 cents lower, and December futures down a dime at $6.13. March contract of next year at $6.22½, down 9. January soybeans on a close at $14.38, down 28 cents. The March at $14.30½, down 30. May futures $14.43½, a penny lower. And July contract at $14.14¾, down 17¾. The November contract in the bean pit, $13 even, down a dime on the afternoon. Bean meal at $8.40 lower. Bean oil down 72 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February, or rather April contract at $137.95, 82.5 cents higher. And the March feeders at $155.75 were up $1.35. Lean hogs were $1.17½ higher. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Jackie. Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace. It was kind of ugly in Chicago, and I don't know who did the leading down today. What'd you think?
Well, I think there were a lot of factors that caused, you know, we added on to the beans because of the China cancellations from yesterday. Although I have to say that, you know, when you looked at January beans, we got down to that 1433 level. There's a 62% retracement on that contract from the June 1st low to the September 4th high. And, you know, it respected that. It came bouncing back. So I hope that we will see a better day in the bean pit tomorrow. The market itself seemed to be doomed when Informer came out and increased their acreage for new crop corn to 99 million. But, you know, the odd part was they reduced the bean acres to 78.96, so you would have thought that beans might have picked up something, but they didn't. And I think that's because we have the wrangling going on with the fiscal cliff. First, this morning we came in and they said they were close to a deal. Then our president came out and said he was probably going to veto any deal, and that just added fuel to the fire, and we just couldn't get any gumption to get out of this pit. The minute that we broke the 20-day moving average, you know, in the bean market, we just tumbled and couldn't find a way back out.
So the housing starts this morning that were better than they have been in 4 years didn't make too much of a difference to the marketplace today?
Well, I think the housing starts, they might have been better than they were in the past 4 years, but they were down 21.6% from the month before. So it depends upon where you want to focus, I guess.
It is all about perception, is it not?
Yes, it is. It
always is. Okay, so one of the things that is happening, and we just sort of discussed it a little bit in part of the program, and we will later in the program when we talk about the weather forecast, is that there's snow, and maybe quite a bit of snow, that's coming to the Great Plains state. I don't know whether we'd call that a drought break or not, but it's a different pattern for them nonetheless.
Oh, there's no question. And I was talking with one of our guys out in Kansas today, and they have been being told since Monday that this blizzard was coming, and he said the skies are getting darker, but they really just won't believe it until they actually see it. And the trade did act somewhat today as if they thought this could be a drought breaker. So I went back, you know, I've always known over the years that the average is 1 inch of rain equals about 10 inches of snow. And now that's going to vary depending upon how wet the snow is, how dry the snow is. But, you know, if Omaha is supposed to get 10 to 13 inches of snow, that would be 1 to 1.3 inches. And when you look at, like, Palmer drought, you know, they are in what they call extreme drought. And extreme drought is defined as, you know, a tremendous amount of pasture damage and major water restrictions. So even though we're hopeful that this is a change in the pattern, this is certainly not something that's going to pull these guys out. Just a temporary fix.
Yeah, so even just an inch is just certainly, and we know that well from our experience last summer, that's not enough to do a whole lot except to get things wet from time to time.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and when you talk about the wind you know, we're talking 50-mile-an-hour to 60-mile-an-hour winds, you know, and even where we, where our home office is up in Wisconsin, they're supposed to get 13 to 15 inches of snow between tonight and tomorrow and 50-mile-an-hour winds, and ask me if I'm happy, I'm not there. But
it depends on how many phone calls you have to take from the home office tomorrow.
Well, that's true, you know. But in all honesty, you know, they're certainly hunkering down, and so is everybody. You know, a blizzard, it's much nicer to get something that comes straight down, and you don't have this tremendous amount of wind because it causes just a lot of problems and a lot of damage. And, you know, that's the same thing when you look at the plains. It doesn't give you a nice blanket of snow, which is what you really need to renew the ground. It gives you snow piling up around whatever might be out there to stop it. And so, but it's rain, it's moisture, and that's really what we need.
Well, let's stay here in this nation and with fundamental effects of the weather. The Mississippi River remains low, though, I don't know that they actually did start or not, maybe you can tell me, on blowing the pinnacles out of the Mississippi River between St. Louis and Cairo, but nonetheless, it is having an impact on trade.
Well, there's absolutely no question, and, you know, it's interesting. They have started, but they've chosen not to blast. They're actually jackhammering is what they're doing. So does that give us a picture of how low that river actually must be right there? And, you know, when you look at the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, they're making it very clear, Todd. Rain, and more rain is what we need, because in 30 days from now, they will have only dropped the level by a foot and one half. And a foot and one half is not a lot. And the other thing they've been talking a great deal about is that 1989 was the last time they did this. And in 1989, they said, you know, this was a multiple-year situation, and they don't see any reason to not believe that it's possible that this is going to, again, be a multiple-year situation. We need, just a few days ago when I talked to some of our clients in Colorado, you know, they actually have fires going on around Colorado Springs again, mm-hmm. and they're not getting the snow in the mountains. So hopefully this storm that we have going through is going to help us. But we need to get rain out in the west, and we need to get snow in the west to recharge the river, because what they do is going to have very little impact compared to what a good rain could do for us.
Yeah, remembering that 40 to 60% of the flow south of St. Louis between St. Louis and Cairo comes from the Missouri River. I can't recall. It's a very large percentage. I probably got those numbers wrong, but it's a large percentage. So anything mm-hmm. that's coming in on the Missouri River is really, really helpful. One of the things that we'll need to talk about next year, and we'll start to talk about today probably, is the grain stocks report. That one's due out January the 11th.
That's right, and you know, this is, when you look at market action today, you know, you say to yourself, how is it possible that we could be really tight on our grain stocks on old crop corn per se, down 16 to 17 cents, you know, back down around the $7 level? And I think, you know, what it reflects is nobody feels very confident about what that January 11th report for grain stocks is going to show. And Daryl Good had a very good article out about it, and I can't, you know, I agree with him wholeheartedly. He said, you know, it's a situation where having confidence going into that report as to where it's going to come out is just not possible. Why? Because, you know, even though we know that the 1.2 billion bushels of corn that was actually harvested prior to September 1st didn't show up in any of those numbers, it was a lot of it was consumed. So the question comes, will that show up now in first quarter use? And when you look at the last 2 years, we've been off by 265 million bushels on the corn amount, and over the last 5 years by as much as 565 million bushels. Those are huge numbers when you're sitting at a level like we are right now with the carryout numbers. And so the likelihood is we're probably going to see a smaller crop. You know, I don't think very many people would argue that the USDA will likely lower the crop again on this final report. Now what that brings us down to is, what is the wild card? Will they lower exports enough, perhaps, to make up for the difference in the crop? And then what about the feed usage, you know, feed residual usage? And if that feed residual number comes in anywhere where we think it might, we could really see a lower carryout and therefore the direction for old crop corn to be established at that point in time. But trading between now and then is going to be pretty messy.
Yeah, Darrell Good wrote that article on Monday. It's up on the Farm Doc Daily website. If you want to see it, you can just visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. By the way, I will be talking with Darrell tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for Commodity Week this weekend. And if you miss it this weekend, don't worry, I'll rerun it again on the following weekend because it's the holiday season. And hey, well, it's the holiday season. So I'll change the numbers in the front. And I think in the second week, we'll make sure that we have not only the closes for Friday, but I'll try to give you the yearly closes change from one year to the other. So you can hear Darrell this week, and then you can hear him again if you want to, and the second week. So a couple of other things maybe we ought to take up as well. Let's go to South America because they've been having a lot of rainfall, and I don't know whether that means that they may end up with a pretty good crop. It's been rough as a start, at least for the corn crop, I think, in Argentina.
Well, Argentina, it's been terribly rough, and they again have had very, very heavy rains. You know, been detrimental to any late planting that has to be done. You know, the question comes down to now, will they be able to get it planted ahead? You know, they're very much affected by heat, of course, and you know that's why it's so important that they get it planted by this particular date. And they just don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So the reality is we may see a smaller crop down there, and it may start to impact their beans also. On the other side, you know, not far from them is Brazil. Brazil's in a different situation. If we step away from crops and we look at inflation, inflation in Brazil is now at 5.78% today, much higher than they expected it to be. And so now what does that mean to them? You know, yeah, well, you know, it means that interest rates are going to go up for them, and it also means that it's just that much harder. I can't speak and say that this is exactly the way it is today, but I can tell you when I traveled in Brazil, when it came to planting crops, no matter how many hectares you had, you only got $50,000 toward your dollar equivalent toward planting corn, $75,000 for beans, and $200,000 for cotton, actually. And so if that's the case, then you're very huge. You've got to figure out ways, different ways to be able to get money. And so, you know, it's like a double-edged sword going on down there. You've got the heavy rains. You've got a fairly decent weather situation in Brazil, and yet Brazil now is in a money situation. We all understand what that's like.
Thank you so much. Hey, speaking of different ways to get money, I wanted to thank you also for helping to donate the meat from the Grand Champion Barrow back to the fundraising event we'll be having on the 25th of January.
You're welcome. I am so thrilled. I can't wait for that day, and I hope everybody who listens to us, who has the ability to come and visit with all of us, do the fundraiser and get to see Orion Samuelson and get his new book,
yep,
joins us. That would be great.
Yep, and he'll be signing those books on that evening. That's the 25th of January. You can find more information, I think, maybe starting tomorrow, but it'll be in our website at willag.org. Jackie, have a good week, and we'll talk to you not next week, but the following one.
You betcha. Thank you, Todd. Merry Christmas to you and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois.